Crystal, we feel the same of you and your family as well. It's such a blessing to have you guys here. It's always scary to go to a new place. And I remember my first day at Eastern Randolph High School. You know, I went from Little Grace Chapel to Big Eastern Randolph. And I was scared to death. My first freshman day, I remember that, you know. And I was somebody at Grace Chapel in the eighth grade, and then all of a sudden I was nobody. And funny story, I was only a couple days in my freshman year. I was in math class, and the vice principal was a big, tall guy named Gary Davis. He came over the intercom. The whole school system could hear, you know. And he said, "Anthony Cheat, get to the office." I mean, he was mad. And my teacher, Miss Cates, I still remember Miss Cates. She looked up at me, and my eyes had to be like this big. She says, "I think you might ought to go to the office there, Mr. Cheek." So I go to the office. I'm thinking, what in the world is Gary? So I opened the door, and Gary knew me. Mr. Davis knew me. And he was just as surprised as I was. And I opened the door of the office to walk in. He looked up and seen me. He said, "Wrong color, get back to class." But there was a black Mr. Cheek, Anthony Cheek. And he was like a junior or a senior, and he had been causing trouble already. But I remember he looked up and saw me, and Gary was surprised. I call him Gary because he is my cousin, or something like that. He's related to me, Mr. Davis. Anyway, we used to live, we lived in two places that had pine trees. And I don't mean just a few pine trees. I mean, Savannah, our whole backyard was pine trees. I mean, pine trees. And then what Savannah has in common with Fort Bragg, North Carolina, is pine trees. I mean, when we lived at Savannah, when we lived in Fort Bragg, pine trees were everywhere. Well, what's underneath pine trees? Pine needles, thank you. And pine needles were just, it was good. I didn't have to mow pine needles. That was good. But pine needles were everywhere. And I remember I would rake the pine needles so our precious little brand new baby could play in the dirt, I guess, that being Rebecca. And but just an hour later, you know, all those pine needles were back in there again. And so we're going to just put a pin in that and think about pine needles this morning. If you've got your Bibles, go to 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1. I started to be honest with you, I started to print out paper copies, a one-page sheet like this. These are my notes, aren't you proud? These are my notes today. I was going to print you out a one-page note of the scripture we're covering, because the beauty of having it all on one page, or the beauty of having a Bible in front of you now, and I'm not against you if you don't have a Bible this morning, but I will be next week. So, is that you can see how it relates to the verses in front of you, in front of the scripture we're reading, and you can see how it relates to the scripture behind us. Does that make sense? And you just get a better feel of it. And so while I'm giving practical advice, let me give you this. Did anybody wake up in the middle of the night last night? Yeah, very good. All the parents go, yeah, I understand. Well, this don't apply to all of you, but some of you it does. Here's what I want you to do, possibly. If this is for you, take it. If it's not for you, chunk it. Take your Bible, take a notepad, take a pen, set it in your favorite chair or beside your favorite chair that has a lamp. All right? So when you go to bed, your Bible, a paper, a pen is at your favorite chair with a lamp. And when you wake up, go to that place. All right? First of all, start praying, and if you're like me, you'll go back to sleep pretty good. But just being honest sometimes. I know. I understand. I thought that was only 59-year-old males. But anyway, it's just a beautiful time. It can be a beautiful time in the middle of the night just to read the Word of God. And you know what? It may mean nothing for a night or two. And then all of a sudden, God will visit you there. And it's just a wonderful experience. And maybe that's just me, but take that and use it if it does you any good. So Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that this will not be me. We're going to study your word. And your word doesn't need any help. It doesn't need any explanation. But Lord God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, let us soak up your word. Let us understand what it's truly saying to, or what it's truly meant to say, first of all, and then how it applies to us in our life and in our situation. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right. Are we there? We're there. What is the first word? Therefore. So if you got your Bibles, I mean, and this is the, y'all are so tired of hearing this, so maybe, I know that I am. Anytime you see a therefore, what do you need to do? See why it is therefore. Some of you have translations that say so. All right, so. Some of you have translations that say because of what's before this. But Peter here is saying therefore. So we need to go see what is Peter referencing to. But let me just read 2, 1 through 3 while we got it on the screen. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So that's our main focus here this morning. So let's go back up to the very first word. Therefore, Peter is saying, so, because of what I said earlier. So let's go back to verse 23 if we can. We've got to go to 1:23. So now we're in chapter 1, verse 23. I'm going to quit looking up and just trust you back there. All right. It says this, having been born. Now he's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to you today if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Listen, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. He's saying, listen, because you have been born again, you are new. You have a new birth, okay? Not of something that can be taken away or rots or decays or is corruptible in any way. No, it's through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. All right, so God spoke this world into existence. God knew your name before you were born. God has called you and drawn you to himself. And now God lives in you. You are a new creature in Christ. So no more of this, well, that's just the way I am. Well, that's just my personality. Okay, that was true back then. But you can't keep using that as an excuse. Having been born again, you are a new creature in Christ through the word of God. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Exactly right. The word of God, this is the written word of God. And it tells us of the spoken word of God. And we have God inside of us. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and there's this newness, there's this durability, there's this hope that's unshakable that lives within you, that we need to grow up, that we need to, here in chapter 2 again, verse 1, that we need to nourish, if I can use that word. He says, therefore, laying aside, some of your translations say, put away. Therefore, put away, laying aside, do away with. All right? And he lists these five sins here. We'll come back to those in just a minute. But he lists malice, being malicious, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, which means slander, really. Any kind of slander. All right, so he says, stop doing, laying aside. Therefore, laying aside. Listen, your new birth really was all because of God. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. We were really passive in our choice of salvation. We have to choose life, yes, okay? But we're really passive. God did all the work in that. But now God says, since I've done all the work and gave you my son Jesus, and now that you have chosen life and chosen Jesus, okay, I did all that work. You were passive. But now Peter is saying, now quit being passive. There's something you have to do. There's something you have to be active about. There's a choice you have to make. You have to do something. You have to do something, and you have to put away malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. As newborn babes, again, Peter is keeping with this new birth idea. All right, remember back up at the end of chapter 1, you know, he talks about having been born again. Peter is keeping this theme going. He's still thinking of this new birth. And this new birth is not just for baby Christians. It's for all of us here this morning. As newborn babes, desire. Some of your translations might better say long. Long for the pure milk of the Word. The pure spiritual milk of the Word. Long for this. What is that pure spiritual milk? It's your Bible, guys. It's your Bible, and I'd go as far as saying it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I mean, I love what you said last week, Mel, in that he preached on prayer. If he wasn't here, you need to go listen to that. And my biggest takeaway last week was this, that when I pray, when I have a communication with God, it isn't necessarily that God's answers are yes or even exactly no. All right, it's the fact that I have God here with me. It's the fact that I have communion with God. It's the fact that I can... Yeah, have communion, have a relationship, have him in my presence, if that makes sense. So it's not so much about the answer as it is about the being close to him. The very word of God that created everything, the very word of God, the spoken word of God that spoke the world into existence, now sustains us. It now sustains us. I had all these statistics about milk and what milk does to you. Remember, though, back in I guess it was the 80s, Got Milk? Maybe it was 90, the biggest campaign ever, you know, Got Milk. And you see all these famous people with a milk mustache, and that came out of California. But Larry, Sarah, I actually researched how many gallons of milk a cow would give over a lifetime and all the nutrients in it and all these milk things. But that's totally irrelevant. It is interesting to study out, though, if you want to. Desire the pure. We're not talking about milk necessarily this morning. We're talking about the pure milk of the Word, which is your Bible, okay? That you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. Does anybody have a different translation? Please, I want to hear it.
That you may grow up into salvation.
Thank you, dear. Are you in the ESV? And thank you, Teresa, for our wonderful Valentine's God's Love decorations, a wreath outside. I appreciate that. They're wonderful. All right, that you may grow up into salvation. That is a better translation. I keep saying I need to go to ESV. I understand that. We got to get it on the screen, though. But as we may grow up into salvation, what does that mean? And not to beat a dead horse, but how many times, and if we need to go back and teach this again, Noah, I'll go back and teach this again, but we talk about sanctification. Progressive sanctification, okay? That when I was first born again, when I first accepted Christ as my Savior, I was born again, I was sanctified. When I die and go to heaven, I will have a sanctified body. I will live with Christ in heaven forever. And so there's the beginning part, and there's not really an ending, but because it's forever. But in the middle, while I'm here on earth, is something that we call progressive sanctification. So that's what Peter is saying here, is that because babe, be like a babe desiring, longing for this word of God, that you may grow up into salvation, because you need the word of God in your life. You need to read it. You need to listen to it. You need to hear it so that it becomes so natural to you and you start longing for it like a baby starts longing for its mother's milk. Into salvation. Indeed, it goes on, verse 3, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter is visiting something here. Can we go to Psalm right quick? I want you to see this. I want you to read this. I want you to study this out later. But I want you to see it this morning. Psalm 34 and Shane, they take a lot of old hymns and make them a little bit more modern. They take a lot of psalms and turn them into songs. Shane and Shane are two men that sing gospel. But listen to Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord when... All right, come on, be with me here. This is a teaching here, okay? I will bless the Lord when? Thank you. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it. Who shall hear it? Help me. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name, what?
Together.
I sought the Lord and he heard me. It says, he answered me. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. From all of his enemies is what that means. Saved him from all of his enemies. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And then in verse 8 he says, the psalmist says, oh, taste and see. Taste it. Experience it in your mouth. You know, really... You know, think about that. Taste and see. Sounds like a relationship with me. That the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Wow. I'm being blessed if nobody else is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Wow. So, again, going back to this, tasting the milk, understanding that it's good, desiring it, growing up in it, getting stronger into salvation, your sanctification, you becoming more like Christ. It's what he's talking about here. Now, what does that mean? Now, I don't mean to insult you, but I want to make sure now. As newborn babes, verse 2, First Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow up into salvation. Now, wait a minute. You're saying, now, I don't want you to say this. This is wrong, but sometimes, you know, your mind gets twisted sometimes, or you know, if you don't fully have this in front of you and understand it. Wait a minute, preacher. I have to do something to be saved? No. Remember all those sermons you know and all those scriptures you know. You come to Jesus just as you are. But once you come to Jesus and become a newborn babe, guess what? You do not stay the way you are. All right? And so I want to make that clear to you this morning, that when it says that you may grow up, taste this pure spiritual milk of God's word, that you may grow up, okay? that's the progressive sanctification. That's becoming more like Christ. I looked at Maddox this morning during praise and worship and told my wife, he is growing up. He is big. I mean, he got here. He still had the bottle and he was so quiet. I didn't think he made any noise ever. And now we know he does make a little bit of noise. But like my newest grandson back there, he still nurses. And then you get to Maddox. Now imagine Mel. What if Mel came in here and he had on diapers? What if Mel, what did he say? Dennis, you're welcome. All right. Imagine Mel coming in here in diapers and having a bottle, okay? All right, and Alegna's carrying him in a car seat. I mean, you know, like this. All right, something would be wrong with him, right? Now, that's funny. That is funny. I got to admit. All right, but something would be wrong with Mel if a grown man who's known the Lord or a grown woman has known the Lord for years and all they can do is barely recite John 3:16. Something is wrong with that. All right, and we need to, you know, going back to prayer last week, Mel, again, it's good for God to come. Oh, it's so good to be blessed and surrounded and feel the Holy Spirit and be strengthened in the Lord. And when I'm fearful, to run and hide in His cave. And we dwell on that. But guess what, brothers and sisters? Sometimes the Lord draws near and He whispers something in our ear that isn't quite so pleasant. And it starts with put away. Lay aside. I'm so far ahead of myself. Let's look at 1 Peter 1. Now we're going to see, go all the way back to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. If you got your Bibles, if not, it'll be on the screen. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Peter's just getting started in his first letter here. Who according to his abundant mercy, have we sung about that this morning? Has begotten us again to a living hope. Man, we should sing a song about living hope possibly, huh? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not the death. Listen. Napkins. Listen. Jesus Christ dying on the cross. They want to buy me a new Bible, and I say no. I might have to say yes, maybe sometime. All right, listen, I dumped my coffee over. But here's what I wanted to point out. This is why I slammed the thing I shouldn't have hit. Has begotten us a new living hope through the resurrection, through the resurrection, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And listen, friends, Easter is coming. He died on the cross to forgive my sins. And that's very important. But the fact that He rose again 3 days later is much more important because now we have a living hope that is incorruptible. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's more of this to come, obviously. Easter is coming. From the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. I'm thinking we want to do a study on heaven. When my father died, I got this book called Heaven. And it's a guide through the Bible, what the Bible actually says about heaven. It's an awesome book. And I'm wondering if we shouldn't go through scriptures to see what it does say about heaven. People think, well, we don't know much about heaven. Wrong answer. We know a lot about heaven. We just got to seek it out. Okay. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept. Friends, You are kept not by your own Bible study, not by the devotionals that you're doing, not even by the reading of the Word. Sinners can read the Word. Non-believers can read the Word, okay? And not that I'm against any of those. Those are not bad. But what I'm saying is, by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He's talking about progressive sanctification here. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Now let's get back on track. Side note, I got coffee everywhere. At birth, friends, listen. At birth, we were born. You remember that? Remember that day you were born? It was cold and light. I mean, I thought it was so bright out here. You remember that, Dennis? Oh, they didn't have electricity when you was born. What do you mean? All right. At birth, we were born. We ate. We drank. We grew. We have moved into maturity. Some of us more mature than others. Amen. All right. That's physically. But never think. Here's a key statement I got written down here. Never think that being born again and growing in Christ is optional. It is as central. It is as central as the air that we breathe and the food that we take in. Never think that growing in Christ. Now, I want to go back to 1. I want to go back to 1 Peter 2, 1. Because we kind of brushed those sins to the side, didn't we? I say that. We didn't brush them to the side, but we didn't cover them. I will say that. 1 Peter 2, 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, put away, put these away. Let me ask you this rhetorical question. Being born again, accepting Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, what effect does that have on you? Transformed, should be. But this new birth, you know, it talks about being tasting and seeing, desiring. What does that look like? And Peter is answering the question for us right here. He's saying, look, if you are a new creature, if you have been born again, this is what it looks like. All right? It is time for you to be active. It is time for you to do something. All right? Now, let's go back. I know it's crazy, but I'm going to go back again to 1 Peter 1:22. We haven't been there yet. 1 Peter 1:22. So I'm backtracking, you know, 5, 6, 10 verses. It says this, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and sincere love for the brethren, of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. What? Let me read that again. Is it up? Since you have purified your souls, all right, are you a new creature this morning? Are you a new creation? Okay. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in sincere love for the brethren. Next week is going to be about love, okay? Love one another fervently with a pure heart. If you love one another's, if you love one another, look around this room. If you truly love one another, if you truly love your family, even that uncle, or even that mother-in-law, if you truly love those in your circle of influence, those that your life touch, okay? If you truly love them, Peter is saying, put away, lay aside. Listen, these five sins are horizontal sins. Did you know there's vertical sins and horizontal sins? The first four commandments are vertical. The last six commandments are horizontal. We'll come back to that later maybe. But you get the idea that these sins that he lists, these sins of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander are what we do to one another. It's what people do to people. And I'd like to make a note also that these last three, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, in the original text are all plurals. The first two are singular, the last three are plurals. So we'll, you know, whether Peter was specifically thinking about these five sins being so deeply rooted in our sinful, nasty old self that they're constantly having to be, you know, cleaned up, or whether they are just a general list of five sins that of all the sins that we're tempted to do. I won't go into that this morning. But I do know the cure for it. The strategy for growth, the strategy to overcome these sins, all right, is to drink. Drink what? Milk. What kind of milk? Spiritual milk. What is spiritual milk? The Word. All right? So he talks about malice to begin with. I will cover these just right quickly. Malice is a disposition in your heart to want to cause harm, to be malicious, to cause harm to somebody. And I don't know that I'm a malice person. I don't know that I've ever have been. You'd answer that for yourself. Deceit. Now, I know a little bit about deceit. Deceit is something in the heart that tells me to lie, to mislead you. Do you know why we lie? We lie, I hope I can word this, because we don't want to face the immediate response. We're willing to lie to or deceive or not tell the full truth in order that in the immediate following, I am not discomfortable, not thinking about what's going to happen further down the road. Does that make sense? I don't know, deceit. Something in our heart wants us to lie, to hide the truth, especially about ourselves, to lead others to believe or say something that will make our immediate situation better. Hypocrisy, again, a plural word, is a form of deceit. It's a double standard of yourself and of others. Because I don't want you to see the real me. Because I'm really insecure, because I'm trying to conceal my life, because I have this fear of being known or being truly known. All right? But now I'll preach against, let's make up anything, I'll preach against that sin, but in secret, I'm over here doing this sin. And again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I invite anyone, I mean, I'm a sinful, you know me. All right, you know me. If you went to any of my coworkers, they'd say the same thing you do. They wouldn't say, oh, Anthony walks on water. He's next to Christ. I'd say, Anthony's a great man. He's a Christian man. He strives to do well. He fails occasionally, but, you know, especially in anger or something like that. But you know, anyway, enough of that. Can the same be said for you? Do you have a fear of being found out? Envy. I resent you. I resent you for having that yellow sports car. I want that. I deserve that yellow sports car. All right? No, just made that up. I don't mean anything. All right? Envy is a resentfulness of you toward others' success or what others God has been blessed other people with. I want that. I deserve that. That is envy and slander. I don't need to cover that too much at all. But at the same time, I do, because slander what's the original text say there? It don't say slander. What's it say? Evil speaking. Thank you. Is detracting from the character of others. You know what? I can talk bad about Brian and never say anything bad about Brian. You know, Dennis say, I ain't seen Brian in a while. How's Brian doing? And I just look at him and roll my eyes. That's all I got to do. I don't know what that means, but he gave in and got a puppy. That's what he did. Distracting from others' characters. A casting shade. Is that something youth? Hey, youth, y'all cast shade? Or is that an old man term? Throw shade. A what? Throw shade. I'm casting shade up here. Yeah. throw shade. Throw shade, really? See, I'm not with it. I'm not with it. All right, distracting from other. I got casting shade. I wrote that down. It's throwing shade. Shame, doubt about others. And that's really being a bully. Do you understand that? We do all this, you know, no bullying. You shouldn't bully others. Slander and talking bad about people is being a bully, because I'm talking bad about, I'll quit talking about you. I'm talking bad about this Brian over here because I want to make myself look better, you know. Anyway, enough of those sins. The remedy, though, the remedy for these sins is most important. Now, and what is the remedy? Drink, drink, drink from the Word of God, okay? Some of you may be thinking, and I would have thought this years ago, I'm wiping my sweat with coffee-stained tissues. So when y'all hug me after service, I'll smell like coffee. It's still pouring out of my Bible. Listen, aren't we beyond these sins? These sins, they're not that serious. Malice, I'm not malicious. Deceit, I don't lie. Blatantly, I don't lie blatantly. Okay. Hypocrisy, nah, I'm pretty much what you see is what you get. Envy, hadn't really thought about it. Evil speaking, I don't speak evil about many people. You know, aren't we beyond these? And the answer is no. We're not beyond these. And we need to get real with each other, and we need to start admitting this, and we need to start working on these. And whether it's these specific five or not is totally irrelevant. Because let me give you two verses, so don't freak out. Some of you, don't freak out. Mail back to you when I read the first one. All right, in Jeremiah 17, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can you? You are so evil. I could rant, but I won't. Okay. I texted that to Mel maybe a year ago. We were in a conversation texting, and I texted him Jeremiah 7, 9, and 10. It didn't take about one. Remember this, brother? It didn't take about 1 minute. He texted back Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. So yeah, the old man, the old Anthony, the guy that has not been born again, you being before you were born again, your heart is deceitfully wicked. But there's a spirit that lives inside you now. God has given you a new heart. Well, how do I get from Jeremiah, my deceitful, wicked heart, to Ezekiel, my heart of flesh, to receive God's word, to receive God's direction, to act like Christ? The answer is drink, drink, drink from the Word of God. It's to spend time with the Word of God. So again, Peter's main point here is this. You cannot grow spiritually if you continue to abide in sin. I make no apologies for saying that this morning. We don't preach a lot on sin. But Peter here is saying you cannot grow spiritually if you continue to abide in your sins. I remember years ago at Promise Keepers, we had a whole sermon on God does not deliver you from your friends. God don't deliver me from my friends. What's that mean? That means this. You have to, through the drinking of the pure spiritual word, start seeing your sin in your life and start hating it so much and desiring your relationship with God over that sin that's in your life. And then that is no longer your friend, because friends, we have pet sins. We have these little closets in our house that we don't want the Lord to have entrance to, if you remember that analogy. If If you want to grow spiritually, the first thing you have to do in order to be able to grow is to get sin out of your life. They poison the ground. The pine needles I was talking about, remember, I lived in Savannah and I lived at Fort Bragg. Pine needles fall on the ground. And they're so acidic, very few things will grow in acidic soil. So when it rains, these pine needles put acid into the ground and nothing is able to grow underneath pine trees very much at all, just some little scrub stuff. And then as these pine needles get deeper, if you don't keep them raked up, they not only provide acid into your soil, keeping things from growing, they become like a mulch that stay heated and keep the ground moist and damp and warm, and nothing will grow. So my question to you today is, what are the pine needles in your life? See, they're not some big sin that's going to be on CNN News. They're just pine needles that fall. They're just pine needles that fall, and if you don't keep them cleaned up, if you don't keep casting them away, if you don't keep pushing them away, they get thicker and they get thicker, and you cannot grow. And if you want to grow closer to God in your spiritual life, there's this process of putting away. You have to lay aside. Now, maybe it's one of the sins we covered today. Maybe it is malice. Maybe you are malicious. Maybe you are deceitful. Maybe you are a hypocrite. Maybe you have envy in your life or slander in your life. But it doesn't stop there. Maybe one of those sins God is talking. Listen, this is important because God is speaking to you right now. Do not turn your heart hard. Do not harden your heart. This is a precious, wonderful thing that God is revealing to you. And we should be thankful, God, that you're revealing it to me, that my heart is not exactly what. There's things in my life that are hindering me from you. We should thank the Lord for that, not push him away. And now we have a choice. We have a choice. This is not coincidence, friends, that a specific sin has come to your life, into your mind. It's not a coincidence that you're feeling convicted right now. You're not condemned. You're not condemned at all. But you're feeling conviction from the Holy Spirit of things in your life that need to be put aside. You now have a choice. And I beg you, choose life. Choose Christ. Choose the Word of God. Choose to put away that sin. Be repentive. That means to do a 180. If I'm walking in this sin and I repent, it means to do a 180 and walk the other way, to lay it aside, to push it aside. Drink the pure spiritual milk. And as we sing a new song this morning, I want you to pay very close attention to the words as we sing. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you. And this altar is open. If you need to come and pray, please do. There's nothing special about this altar, but there's something about stepping out in front of your brother, in front of your sister, in front of your kids, or even your parents, and coming to an altar and praying. And first of all, thanking God for speaking to you, thanking God that He's revealing your true heart to yourself, and asking Him. He is the sustainer of life. He is the helper. He is the one that is incorruptible, that will help you, that will lead you, that will guide you, that will surround you with His protection and build you up into a strong tower.